Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Man, it is a wintry looking day. And it feels that way, but it's not... It's not as cold as it looks. It looks like it's like about to snow outside. Now tonight, it's going to be cold enough that if we were getting some precipitation, it could. But I think the rain is out for a day or so while we hit the freezing mark this evening. But we're all comfy and cozy here in our studio today. It is Bill and Coach Don Dunn. Dan is on the road with Troy Women's Basketball. Now, tomorrow, there will be no Drive tomorrow because there is Auburn Women's Basketball tomorrow at 4. So we'll be back on Thursday. Dan should be in on Thursday, but good to have Coach Dunn in today. Don, how you doing?
Doing great. Like you said, Bill, it looks rough out there, but not too bad. About 45, I think, right now.
Yeah.
But it'll get down to 30 tonight.
Yeah.
Which will be a switch.
have you got to work tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I got on long pants
already. Layers, man. You're right.
Yeah.
When Don's wearing long pants, it's like, you know, it used to be, it's Jason Caldwell. I mean, it's one of those things where you can tell if it's really cold.
Yeah.
If these guys aren't wearing shorts.
Right.
Then it's going to be really, really cold.
Right. I wear them as long as I can.
And speaking of Jason, we will have Jason on a little later on this week. He'll be in Birmingham for the Super 7. Yeah, go ahead and get him for the Super 7. And it generally is cold. It seems like it turns cold the week of the state championship.
Always happens. Yes, sir.
But we'll get Jason on since we're not on tomorrow. We'll have Jason on later. Now speaking of guests, though, we're about to connect with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. And before we get to Andy, news coming out just before we came on the air today. In the last 15 minutes, it has been announced that DJ Durkin is staying on as Auburn's defensive coordinator. We'll read you statements from head coach Alex Golish, from DJ Durkin, but I think everyone involved with Auburn football is very pleased to hear that DJ Durkin is staying on.
Yeah, no doubt, Bill. That's a big plus for Auburn football. I think it helps us with retention of our players currently on the roster. I think it will help us with the defensive guys that we're recruiting and looking at it in the portal. And he's a heck of a football coach.
That's really
the main
is.
Thing.
Really is.
And you look at our defense, it wasn't a problem most of the year. And that's kind of unusual for a guy to get to stay. So that just shows you how well he was respected by everyone, including the new guy coming in. So good for him and his family. It's always a blessing when you don't have to pack up and move, believe me.
Well, yeah, no question about it. And I didn't realize that they had known each other as long. Alex Golish saying that their relationship goes back to more than 20 years to their roots in Ohio.
Oh, I did not know
that. And then DJ saying Coach Golish and I have known each other for a long time. So, I mean, that's good.
That's good.
That made it a whole lot easier for that to work. So
yeah, it's hard to when you take a job, or I'm telling you, it's hard to keep a guy you don't know.
Oh yeah.
So even though he's great, you still got to want to kind of know what the guy's really like, and that's great that they knew each other. I did not know they had a relationship.
Mm-hmm. All right. So with that said, I mean, wanted to get that big news out there as we head to the Drive hotline and welcome in our good friend and voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Hey, Andy, how are you doing today?
Well, Coach Don, I'm doing very well. Glad to be on with you guys today. Interesting news. I think this is good news.
Oh, absolutely. It's good news.
With regard to DJ Durkin, I think everyone involved is happy to hear that Coach Durkin will stay on as the defensive coordinator. Excited now to see under his direction, and of course the ultimate direction of Alex Golish, what this defense becomes in this new regime of Auburn football.
Andy, I'd love your initial thoughts on meeting Coach Golish.
Well, Bill, I'll be honest. I've not actually even had an opportunity to shake his hand.
Oh my!
Yet.
I thought for sure yesterday you would.
No, I will get that opportunity tomorrow, and I'm very much looking forward to that. An opportunity that on War Eagle Plus that I'll have an opportunity to sit down with Auburn's new head football coach, and glad that we'll have this information, this news that DJ Durkin is staying on as defensive coordinator among the many topics to talk about. I will give you my impressions of his press conference yesterday, and I know that you were there as well. And and this may sound a little bit, I was really impressed just with his presence and his command of the English language, and I know that sounds goofy,
but he didn't speak English, 37 years ago.
Well, it was just how well spoken.
No, he really was,
and how thoughtful he is with what he was saying yesterday, and how well he presented himself yesterday. I was just really impressed with that aspect. Take the football side out of it, is just how impressed I was of how well he presented himself at that press conference yesterday.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Energy doesn't seem to be a problem at all with this man. The drive, we did talk with Cody Burns on our coverage yesterday. That was fun. That was a fun hour to do leading up to his Tiger walk and then that press conference. And it was fun to get to talk with Cody Burns again. We one of the first things we asked him after welcoming him back to campus was, give us an idea, what's this man like? And he talked about it. John Cohen talked about it. Then Alex Golish talked about it as well. The process. He is a process driven individual. And that's going to be fascinating to see how that now transfers into his staff, which obviously is being formed probably as we speak, and with this team as well. And with signing day now tomorrow, how does this news of Alex Golish as Auburn's head football coach and DJ Durkin staying on as the defensive coordinator, how does this affect signing day tomorrow? It's got to help in Auburn's signing day tomorrow. But Bill, Don, I don't remember. Don, maybe you can help. Bill, you've been around it longer than I. I don't remember an end of a football season with as many coaching changes in the Southeastern Conference and how intertwined they all seemed to be.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
with John Sumrall going to Florida, with Lane Kiffin going from Ole Miss to LSU, with Alex Golish coming from USF to Auburn, and just the Memphis coach heading
Ryan Silverfield to Arkansas.
And then after that, Kentucky announces that Mark Stoops is out, and they have a coach as well.
It was
fascinating that all of that was taking place in a 3 or 4 day span, and now I guess all the pieces are there. The staffs are being put together, and we move on. And I, just judging from the reaction of folks like you, just listening to others, I think Auburn is very excited now of the news of Alex Golish, and I think folks are impressed by his resume. Impressed by his press conference yesterday, and we can debate how important it is to win that press conference. I think it's important to do it and do it well.
You don't want to lose the press conference.
it's not the be all end all. When it comes. I mean that takes place now in this day, starting today.
Yes.
With this staff, and tomorrow with signing day, and retaining this roster, and then into winter workouts starting in January, and then the spring practice the summer workouts this summer, preseason workouts, and it all, of course, you know, culminates or begins all again with that Baylor game in Atlanta next year.
Yeah, no question about it. I thought that Alex Golish, you can tell he is extremely detail-oriented and driven, and just I would think, as we've seen the dust settle and you know how things are shaking out now around the SEC, I think Auburn fans have to be excited about the addition of an elite offensive mind to go now to be paired with DJ Durkin, one of the best defensive coordinators that you're going to find anywhere as well.
Well, I thought this season was a masterpiece by DJ Durkin. You know, Auburn lost that game at Oklahoma by a one score. It lost against Texas A&M in a game where the offense just didn't move the ball at all and still had a chance late. You know, you take both Missouri and Vanderbilt into overtime, and you have a shot late against Alabama to win that.
Six losses by a touchdown or less. Right.
Yeah. Right. And most of that is due to the fact that the defense kept Auburn in those games.
Absolutely.
The one exception really was the Vanderbilt ball game, and that's when we saw the offense explode in the first game after the coaching change. And, you know, I mean, this past weekend against Alabama, I thought both sides of the ball played well. That's as good an offense as Alabama has faced in a while, if you just take a look at the numbers. And the defense played really well against Alabama. All right, now this season's over. Mm-hmm. All right? And now you begin anew, so to speak, with a man that has, in his time, either as a coordinator, in his time as a tight ends coach, and a wide receivers coach. I mean, he's been on both sides of the ball, for goodness sakes. And now the head coach in his 3 years at USF and what he has done there has put up huge numbers. Yes, is it the SEC that he did that as a head coach? No. But everywhere he has been, the offenses have put up big numbers, whether it's Toledo or Iowa State or Illinois or Northern Illinois, or UCF, or USF, or Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee. Tennessee led the nation in total offense his last year there.
So, and this past year, Bill, over 500 yards a game, which is second in the country, and 43 points per game.
And it's not just. I mean, he made a point, Don. I'm sure you heard the press conference when he said, "We're going to run the frickin' ball." They ran it for over 200 yards. They're one of the top rushing teams in the country as well.
I stood up and cheered. You know my philosophy.
Don, it's interesting you say that because our coverage on the War Eagle Plus content network, I mean, literally went up to the point that John Cohen walked to the podium and started that press conference yesterday. So Brad and I never even went inside. Huh. We were just out on the stage where we were, and there's probably a couple hundred people that hung around after Tiger Walk and watched the press conference on a big screen. And when he said that, there were people cheering. That maybe cheered that comment more than any other
comment
was, we will run the football. Right. I guess Jason Caldwell asked that first question about the offense, and it was fascinating to watch the response.
That's awesome.
Of the Auburn family out there watching that on the big screen, and it was chilly. Boy, it was chilly out there, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is, I think it's really exciting, and as you said, Andy, I mean, it'll be interesting. You know, you can't judge everything tomorrow. I mean, this is a signing period that was going to be a little different than ones we've gotten used to because of the transfer portal. But this one will be it'll be more different because of the coaching change as well. But I still expect there to be a couple of exciting additions to this class tomorrow that people may not have expected.
Well, and in talking with DJ Durkin in the weeks since the coaching change and the time that he was the interim head coach, he and I had a couple conversations mostly on the air, whether it be Tiger Talk or doing his pregame show.
Mm-hmm.
For that three-game period, just about the recruiting part and how he talked about how that staff, and obviously not all of those guys that were part of that staff under Coach Freeze and in the 3 weeks or the three games since under Coach Durkin, that all of that staff is not going to be here moving forward. But, I mean, that they were working in those three games against Vanderbilt and Mercer and Alabama, yes. But they were also working on this recruiting class as well. I mean, I admire that group. And they certainly had no guarantees that any of them would be here after the coaching change. And yet how they worked to this day tomorrow. And I want to thank those guys for doing that.
Absolutely.
For
and
sure.
And especially those that perhaps
won't
are
be
not
here.
Going to be part of this staff.
Yeah, yeah Don, you can relate.
Yeah, that's a tough deal, Andy. You're right. And that just shows you, you know, there's so much pride. Most coaches are good guys. Not saying that braggingly, but you're loyal to where you're working. I remember when we got let go, I went in and gave all my list and what I thought was the top guys in my area to Coach Chizik, met him in his office, not knowing whether I was going to get to stay or not, but I had a feeling I wasn't just because of the direction. But, yeah, you got to admire those guys, and there's no guarantees. That's what's tough about this business. But, you know, those guys will all land on their feet. They're good coaches, good people, and I wish them the best.
Well, it's part of the business, and that first practice that I went to that first Tuesday after the announcement was made on the Vanderbilt week, and I was able to watch that practice that day, and you know, part of it was just to watch the energy of the team, but also that staff, and I don't know how you would not go into those days. That staff, and not just the coaches on the field, but the folks that work around and with those coaches, and not knowing if they're going to have a job in a month.
Yeah, it's
and I admired the hard work that staff put in, and I look forward to what this next staff puts together.
Yeah, no doubt.
Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, with us. Here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Yes, exciting news, and the update, in case you're just joining us, DJ Durkin will stay on as defensive coordinator at Auburn with new head coach Alex Golish. Basketball season, we haven't talked to Andy since the trip to Las Vegas. We'll get into that and more when we come back. Stick with us here on the Tuesday.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
We'll get to your calls in a little while, but right now we have the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, on the line with us. And Andy, yes, an interesting trip out to Las Vegas. You did get your wish that Game 3 was played on Wednesday. And after Tuesday night, I thought I was very impressed with the team, the coaching staff being able to rebound from that loss to Michigan, which we then saw on Wednesday night. Was the best game played against the Wolverines in those three days out in Las Vegas.
Well, I was really impressed with Michigan one. I mean, they won handily, and not one of those games obviously was a fluke. I mean, they beat San Diego State by 40, beat Auburn by 30, and then beat Gonzaga by 40, which may have been the most impressive win by any team in that tournament
this year.
When you beat the Zags by 40. I don't care where it is. That's impressive. But I was impressed. And listen, I mean, Auburn played well against Oregon, and that's an Oregon team that I think will be. I think that's an NCAA tournament team at the end of this year. We'll find out just how good it is moving forward. But listen, I mean, Auburn scored the first 2 points against Michigan. And then Michigan scored 11 straight points. In that game, they never looked back. And I still thought Auburn played hard in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think Auburn played particularly well, but Michigan was just overwhelming in every facet. And then to not find out who Auburn's going to play, when Auburn is going to play, until about 9:30 that night there in Vegas, and then to put a scouting report together. And I'll tell you this, guys, Corey Williams and Ian Borders were Auburn's wild card scout team out there. They were there at Michelob Ultra Arena every day before Auburn played because we had no idea what that third game was going to be.
Right.
So they were the wild card scout team. They were going to put that scout together against whichever team Auburn would play on Wednesday. So they had the scout for St. John's, as it turns out. I'm not sure there was a tougher third round game than what Auburn had in St. John's, a top 15 team. You are facing one of the all-time legends in college basketball in Rick Pitino, and the aura that goes with him and with that team. And then to get that team less than 24 hours later than just getting your socks beat off by Michigan, to be down at nine points at halftime. And the first half really turned when Keyshawn Murphy picked up his third foul.
Right. And that was about midway through the first half. Right.
Right. Exactly. And Auburn did not have Filip Jovich in the game because of an injured wrist. And then St. John scored the first 2 points of the second half on free throws, and they're up 11. And then you got to be wondering at that point, my goodness, after getting beat by 30 the day before, which way is this going? And then Tahad Pettiford just put on an absolute show in the second half. And so did Keyshawn Hall,
mm-hmm.
who had scored 2 points in the first half. And when Auburn got on that roll in the second half, guys, there wasn't anything that St. John's could do about it. And Auburn won that game. And I was really impressed with how Auburn responded, how that coaching staff responded. And to do that in the third game of a tournament. And listen, I don't have any idea how big that game is for Auburn, but I do believe we will look back on that game, that second half against St. John's, and look back and go, wow, we learned a lot about that, the character of this basketball team, because it could have gone the other way really easily, and it did not. And you win that game, and you outscore St. John's by 22 in the second half. But here's the deal, though. You got to put that behind you because you have a flat-out great shooting team coming into Neville Arena tomorrow night in North Carolina State.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get back home from that, get through Thanksgiving, turn around, and you've got an NC State team with Will Wade that, quite frankly, I mean, I know he doesn't feel like they've been playing the way they should, but you're absolutely right. I mean, some of the numbers Stephen Pearl was reading today that I'm sure you've looked at, Andy. I mean, as a team, a 42% three-point shooting team as a team, and I think even Stephen was a little surprised when he looked and saw that all five starters are shooting over 40% from three.
Well, let's see. Let's just take a look. Paul McNeil Jr., 6'5", sophomore, 19 of 48 from three. Trey Holloman, who played at Michigan State against Auburn in the Elite Eight last year, 12 of 21 from three.
Whoa.
Darian Williams, who transferred in from Texas Tech. So he played with Kevin Overton
mm-hmm.
on that Elite Eight team last year with Texas Tech. Williams, who is the preseason ACC player of the year and still hasn't played an ACC game yet, is 19 of 35 from three. Copeland, the senior out of Philadelphia who transferred in from McNeese, came with Will Wade from McNeese, 6 of 11 from three. And Ben Allen Lubin, who played against Auburn 2 years ago at Notre Dame and then played against Auburn last year against with North Carolina out in Maui, their 6'9 senior, is 2 of 4 from three. They're shooting 42% from three. And it's not as though they take just a couple three-pointers here and there. This is a high-volume mm-hmm. three-point shooting team. And with that, they're still shooting 52% on the season from the field. That's the two numbers that just jump off the page.
Yes.
To me, I mean, this team shoots from range, and it shoots very well regardless of where they're shooting the basketball.
Yeah, so this one should be a fun game to watch. It should be a fun one to call, Andy. I mean, prepared. I don't know when you're going to get Brett's.
North Carolina State, NC State. They want to be called NC State, by the way. Saw that in the notes.
I didn't know
they're
that.
Averaging almost 94 points a game, and Auburn's averaging 88.5 points per game. So get ready. Get ready on your score sheets, friends. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for some late night action.
Yeah, and I think that the time now has been pushed back to 8:20 with a possible 5-minute slide.
Right.
So it is going to be a late night game. Our coverage begins at 7:30. Regardless, our coverage begins at 7:30 tomorrow night over on Wings 94.3.
Yeah, looking forward to it, though. An opportunity, great opportunity as Auburn home before they turn around and have another huge matchup on the road heading out to Arizona.
Well, and Arizona's ranked number 2 in the country.
Yeah, that's all.
At the McHale Center. I mean, one of the grand venues for college basketball.
Yes.
I mean, we don't think about that very much because it's out there in the desert southwest, but this is one of the great programs in college basketball history. And one of the very tough venues to go in. I've never been to Tucson, so I get to check one of the great basketball arenas off my bucket list on Saturday night. And that game begins even later. That's a 9:00 tip-off our time, and our coverage begins at 8:30 from Tucson.
This should be, should be a blast. You're getting to go to some great venues, see some great teams, and Auburn has been up for this. And again, that St. John's second half is something that I think is going to be a big statement. But we'll see a lot more here against NC State and then Arizona, and got Purdue coming up. I mean, quite the challenge, but I think these guys are up for it and can't wait.
Here's the next four games for Auburn. NC State tomorrow night at home. At Arizona in a true home and home. Arizona comes back to Auburn, or comes to Auburn next year. The Holiday Hoopsgiving, which has become a tradition now for Auburn to take part in that, and Auburn has played very, very well at State Farm Arena in Atlanta. That's Chattanooga. And then a week before Auburn plays a team right now that has been number 1 this season in Purdue in Indianapolis. So, yeah, that's all before Christmas. That's all before the Southeastern Conference play begins in early January, and you've still got that Queens game on the 29th at 9:00 at home.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to following these, Andy, and I know you're gonna have a great time being able to be at all these venues and call these matchups, man. It's this is something could be what a great start it has been thus far for Stephen, and I think this team is just gonna get better and better as they build more chemistry and play more with each other.
Good to hear that Filip Jovic will be back for tomorrow night's game against North Carolina State. I think he has played better of late, averaging 13 points, 4 rebounds in his last 3 games. I think Auburn's having to deal with a little bit of whatever's going around on campus. Sounds like the bug may be going around a little bit. We'll find out how that affects Auburn's lineup, if at all, tomorrow night. But as Stephen told us today, Bill, it happens every year. It just depends on when something like this occurs. So we'll find out a little bit more about that. And hopefully, I thought Stephen made a great point today. With it being a late game, and, of course, we're after the Thanksgiving holiday now, students are back. The jungle is going to be crazy tomorrow night. But, boy, if you're not going to be able to make it out for that game tomorrow night, make sure that some Auburn fan has your tickets for that one. And I think this is the last night, the last game with the Toys for Tots. So if you can bring an unwrapped brand new toy, that will go out to some needy folks this Christmas season.
That is great. Andy, you mentioned the airtime tomorrow. Let us know, everything you've got lined up here with the Auburn Network here over the next week.
Well, this week's Talking Tigers podcast is one of my all-time favorites that I was being able to cover on campus, and that's Kim Evans, mm-hmm. former Auburn women's golf coach, who will go into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame this May, along with our good friend Jason Campbell and Tommy Tuberville. They all go into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame in May, and my interview with Kim is on the Talking Tigers podcast now. On Monday, it will be a sit-down interview that I'm about to do tomorrow with Auburn's new head football coach, Alex Gullish. So I'm really looking forward to an opportunity to shake the man's hand and make a connection there. In 2 weeks, Jason Campbell. We are going to sit down and talk about his amazing career that leads him to the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. And then the Monday before Christmas, and buddy, I'm looking forward to this, Bob Dumas.
Oh, yeah.
Long time. I believe Auburn's first ever scholarship golfer, member of the Auburn University mm-hmm. Board of Trustees, a member on the Auburn City Council, long time with Auburn Bank, and just recently honored by Auburn with the Walter Gilbert Award. And Bob is coming in next week, and we're going to sit down and talk about give us his Auburn story, someone that grew up here. Mm-hmm. In Auburn. So that's the schedule right now for the Talking Tigers podcast.
That's great. Yeah, saw Bob yesterday, and of course he was there and spoke with him and some of the other folks. So looking forward to all that, Andy. That is great. We really appreciate you spending some time with us each week.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. I hope you have a great show. And War Eagle!
Voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does on Tuesdays. We really appreciate him spending some time with us.
Yeah, he's the best, boy. He's great.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love to hear from you now that we know. I mean, there was a lot of angst, concern. Oh, can you know what can Auburn be if DJ Durkin isn't here? Well, look, Auburn has the offensive. I mean, the coach with the unbelievable offensive numbers is your head coach now, and DJ Durkin is staying as defensive coordinator. Love to hear from you. But anything on your mind sports-wise, it's Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Come on in and join us.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 20 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn in the studio. And let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Pretty good.
Good.
Just wanted to ask this question, maybe a little off topic for the breaking news today. But 36 years ago was December 2nd, 1989. And I think that should be a civic holiday in this town.
Well, you know, not only because of 1989, 53 years ago was the punt Bama punt game, December 2nd.
I didn't realize that was December 2nd.
I believe so.
Wow. Well, it definitely should be a civic holiday then.
Yeah.
I was just curious your thoughts, because I know, Bill, I know you were in town then. I don't think you were Coach Dunn.
No.
But what are your thoughts like as far as, you know, I'm amazed what our athletic department has become since the 89 game, and just wanted your thoughts on you know, kind of your hope for the future of Auburn football. I feel better about where we are now than even I did on that day 36 years ago.
I don't know that it's hard. I don't know. It's hard to imagine ever feeling any better about Auburn football than Auburn people did. Then I'll tell you what, I was working in the ticket office, and that was as tense an atmosphere. I mean, when people talk about you could cut the atmosphere with a knife,
right?
I could hardly breathe. It felt so intense that day. It was unbelievable. But I have to feel right now that the future looks pretty darn bright right now, but But yeah, and it was December 2nd, 1972. I just Googled December 2nd, 1972, and didn't have anything to do with sports. And the first thing it says was the Iron Bowl between Auburn and Alabama had a famous ending when Auburn won 17-16, blocking two punts for touchdown, and points out that Papa was a Rolling Stone was number one. So yeah, December 2nd should be a holiday in at least right here. It ought to be a holiday.
Anyway, thank you guys.
Hey, great hearing from you, John. Yeah. This is a pretty big day in Auburn history, and I guarantee you there are an awful lot of Auburn football people, fans today, that feel like today is a big day, too, with the retention of DJ Durkin. Here on the eve of signing day, I think that's going to play, that's going to be beneficial to Auburn. And, you know, something we talked about this a little yesterday, and Brian, with Brian Matthews, is there had been some confusion, and I still can't find anything officially on the NCAA website, but it is my understanding that the feeling that players would be able to enter the portal 5 days after a head coach is named, that is only the case if it happens after January 2nd and the portal is done. That's to allow players to be able to have an opportunity if a coaching change is made after that.
Right.
The situation, as I understand it now, and it's been reported in multiple places, is that coaching changes that are done prior to the January 2nd portal, those players will be able to enter the portal January 2nd. So what that means is, you know, Alex Golish, DJ Durkin, and the staff have until January 2nd. So they have a month to try to, you know, work with players, decide who wants to stay, who they want to do their best to retain. So it's not a situation where, man, in 5 days, guys are jumping into the portal and they could be gone anywhere. So that'll give them more time. Mm-hmm. And that's done to allow teams that are making changes not to have players going that quickly.
Right. Yeah, it's different times.
But I like that. I like that clarification from the NCAA.
Yeah, that makes, for once, a little sense that they've done. And again, tomorrow is important, but not like it used to be, Bill. Remember?
No, there are great high school players out
there
that you feel like can help you immediately.
Right.
You want to take them. I mean, Auburn's in an odd – the schools that have made changes are in a little bit of an odd situation because they are less sure about who's going to be back.
Exactly.
Than schools that aren't seeing a coaching change. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, the plan all along for Auburn had been – Auburn probably going to sign somewhere around between 15 and 20 players this year because you need to keep spots open for players that do enter the transfer portal, and Auburn didn't have the largest senior class this year either.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, it'll all work out, and I think, like you said, with the news today, the excitement of a new head coach, the excitement of Coach Durkin being able to stay, it's a lot – better, more positive than it would have been if, you know, he wouldn't have stayed. And
No question.
And I think everybody's happy from what I can tell. People I've talked to, and, you know, it was almost, oh, man, what are we going to do if he doesn't stay? So they can worry about something else.
That is right. Now, I do think that Coach Durkin was looking at some possibilities as coach. I mean, look at some of the places that have had
some
their coaches.
Decent jobs.
The group of five coaches that have moved up now.
Yeah.
I mean, with John Sumrall leaving Tulane to go to Florida, Alex Golish leaving South Florida to come here, Ryan Silverfield leaving Memphis to go to Arkansas.
Those are three
darn good group of five
that
jobs.
That have been winning.
Yes.
That have been winners. Yeah.
So those
great
jobs. Those spots have come open, and I do think that DJ was involved in at least one of those.
Yep.
But I think it's great news for Auburn that he is staying because a lot of people had said – well, what if? Because Tulane is targeting Blake Baker, the LSU defensive coordinator, who Lane Kiffin was excited about keeping.
He played at Tulane, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
I think.
But, I mean, he is definitely Tulane's top target.
He's good.
And you know, I'd heard people saying, well, won't Lane Kiffin come after DJ Durkin? DJ Durkin and his family are very happy.
Yeah.
We'll read you. I'll read you the quotes here in a little bit.
Great.
That DJ Durkin, you know, talked about he and his family and how they feel about Auburn. So that is, again, really, really good news.
Yep.
Well, let other schools worry about who their coordinators are. Yeah. I think Auburn's in good shape there. We'll just see how the rest of the staff fills out.
And he'll do a good job. He'll fill it out.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline. And Uncle Ollie is up next.
Hello, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Doing good. Fine.
Good. Hey, so is this sort of kind of the dream team?
I think
so. You've got a head coach whose offense was in the top five. You've got a defensive coordinator whose defense was in the top five. I mean, it can't get any better.
Yeah, just get out there and do it again.
And I think they can. And I will admit wholeheartedly, I called yesterday. And I was a little down on Durkin staying because I thought he was sort of, you know, playing the Lane Kiffin card. And then I heard today that him and Golish have a 20-year relationship.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. And that made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you meet a stranger and he tells you all the good things. But, you know, do you really trust him? But if he's known him for 20 years, I feel like he knows him, and he feels comfortable with him. So I think it's a win-win for Auburn.
Oh, I do too. I absolutely do.
The other thing I was going to ask you about. So, you know, I've been watching all this stuff going on, and so I see that. John Summerall, and I admit up front, I wanted him. That was my number one choice.
Mm-hmm.
But so I hear his press conference yesterday, and he talked about how he is very good friends with Lane Kiffin. And Kiffin told him, and I read this in an article, that, you know, Florida was the job for him because Auburn, you know, was a little, you wouldn't have autonomy, you know.
And of course, Lane would know, having been at Auburn, and if he doesn't think Bull Gators are going to be, you know, not just watching closely, then, yeah, he's got another thing coming.
Yeah. So I thought, okay. So he tells him, look, Florida would be a great landing spot. Auburn, you know, you're gonna have some meddling from some people higher up and this, that, and the other. And so then I see that Kiffin turns the job down at Florida because Scott Strickland told him that, you know what, we might bring another general manager who is going to, you know, report to me. And Kiffin was like, no, I'm not going to have that. Which I totally understand.
I'll tell you something that there is between Lane Kiffin and Scott Strickland. Scott Strickland, I believe, was more than just a little involved when Chris Kiffin, Lane's brother, was turned in. So I think Lane's held that against Scott too.
Well, not only that, but I don't think Scott Strickland wanted Lane Kiffin. So he was going to make a way that Lane would turn the job down and it wouldn't look bad. But anyway, so he tells, you know, he tells Summerall, look, you don't want to go to Auburn because there's going to be meddling. So then I read an article by John Talty that says that he talked to Kiffin, and Kiffin said the reason he turned the job down in Florida was because when he met with them, he got a weird vibe that there was going to be meddling and higher up. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, That doesn't make sense. You're telling John Summerall, don't go to Auburn because there's going to be meddling. But yet, you didn't go to Florida because there's going to be meddling.
Yeah, I I've said it a couple of times. I think Lane's just being Lane sometimes, and he likes to mess with different schools and their fan bases.
Yeah, and then didn't Urban Meyer call Summerall?
Yes, yeah.
So here's my thing. So the two guys that were advising Summerall was Urban Meyer and Lane Kiffin. That's like Elizabeth Taylor advising you on marriage.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a great line. Hey, Uncle Ollie, we got to run, man. We're way behind.
All right.
Great hearing from you. Need to get to our final break of hour number one. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7500.
And you can do that in just a few minutes, but right now we have to step aside for our top of the hour break. Fun first hour with Andy Burcham. We've got Jake Crane joining us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts. And in the meantime, love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll step aside for our top of the hour break right back with hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Taking your calls, questions, comments. Love to hear from you. Big news today here is that DJ Durkin is staying as Auburn's defensive coordinator. That was announced a little over an hour ago. So I'd love the combination of DJ Durkin joining Alex Golish because you know what DJ Durkin and his defenses can do. And the excitement, I think, for, you know, seeing Auburn's offense, you know, explode the way Tennessee's did. I mean, Alex Golish was Tennessee's offensive coordinator there under Josh Heupel before he got the job at USF. So, I mean, I think a very dangerous combination for opponents.
Yeah, I really was impressed with Tennessee a couple of years ago. Remember, Bill, they'd spread you out from sideline to sideline, ran the ball.
Yep.
And then they threw it.
They throw it down the field.
Yes. And with our receivers, that's got to make everybody happy.
No kidding. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can text us. The Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. 334-564-1840. Let's get to the hotline. And James gets us started this hour. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. Well, I hadn't heard the DJ Durkin news, but that's a good thing because I think that should put everyone on notice in the SEC.
I would think.
Not only in just recruiting, but now you got to go against that explosive offense with that violent defense, and we'll see who's still laughing after next year. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on after next year.
Well, you'd sure think that Auburn would be able to manage – you know, an extra touchdown or more per game, and look at what the difference in an extra touchdown a game would have done this year. I mean, my goodness, Auburn at 5-7 lost six games by 7 points or less. Granted, one of them was that shootout against Vandy. The rest of them, if Auburn had had much offense at all, they had a chance to win every one of them. So I would say the excitement is legit.
I was just kind of I got a question for you, Bill and Coach Dunn. Something is bothering me, and I had a lot of Auburn fans keep telling me, just let it go, quit worrying about it. And I know we've talked about it a few times, and I feel like we're beating a dead horse at times, but just something's been bothering me since Friday night. So I watched the Texas A&M game, and the officiating in that game was really, really strange to me. And it didn't occur to me what was going on until after the Auburn game, when there was a lot of strange officiating going on in that game. I don't know why they didn't call targeting on that last drive. It was the second play of the last Auburn drive before Coleman fumbled it.
Oh yeah, you know, I'd almost forgotten about that. I mean, I was probably still hot about the two calls against Auburn's defense on Alabama's touchdown drive.
Yeah, and I mean, just those two, and then that no call on the targeting. I mean, I think it was on Singleton. I think it's Singleton on that second play caught the ball or ran the ball, and they hit him head to head. And I'm like, why aren't y'all calling that? You gonna call Pat roughing the passer for the guy just falling down?
Getting blocked.
And I understand. I mean, you can't. That's a bang bang play. This is a contact sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we changing this to? Flag football? I mean, come on, it's just ridiculous. But I say all that to say, it looks really suspicious for me. If you look back at go back and watch the Texas A&M game and watch the Alabama Auburn game, it looks really suspicious to me how the officiating plays out to where Alabama and Georgia wind up in the SEC title game.
Well,
it looks really suspicious to me.
Yeah, so. Well, not just that. I mean, you can't help but think, man, isn't it amazing how the games turned out the most beneficial for the Southeastern Conference to have as many teams as possible in the playoffs.
Oh yeah, and that's just a whole nother added fuel to the fire. Mm-hmm. And I know people think I'm a conspiracy nut. I'm not a conspiracy nut, but when things don't look right, they just don't look right, you know. And I don't know what else how to explain that. You know, I don't know, guys. That whole thing just bothers me to no end. But I tell you one way we can fix it, though. If y'all want me to tell you,
sure.
Auburn needs to get a full law school operating at Auburn. We need to get a full med school operating at Auburn, and we need to start our own journalism school at Auburn, and stop letting Alabama run the law school and the journalism school for the state, because most of the local media are journalism grads from Alabama, and they put out this PR nonsense. It's like they all spit out the same PR talking points from Tuscaloosa: Auburn bad, Alabama great. And that's one way. I mean, that's something academically we can do. Now, people can say, well, James, how does that make any sense, doing the full med school and law school? That brings in extra money. The journalism school changes the advantages of the PR campaign that goes on in the state of Alabama. And people can say, well, that's crazy. No, it's just being smart. You know, we've done great things for the engineering school and veterinarian school and everything else we've invested in school-wise. Why can't we do these schools and be great at it too? So,
interesting point,
James. Maybe I'm just out of my depth on that one. So,
Nah, it's yeah, it's cool to hear things like that. Appreciate the call, man. Got a roll.
Thanks, guys.
Full bank of calls, and Terry is up next. Hey, Terry, how you been?
Great, guys. How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
Great. That was a great line by Uncle Ollie, by the way. Elizabeth Taylor, that was a great
line. Yeah, no kidding.
That's the greatest line the show's ever had. You mentioned that DJ Durkin and the head coach had a 20-year relationship. Golish had a 20-year relationship. Where do they coach together at?
Well, what Alex Golish said is it goes back to their Ohio backgrounds.
Uh-huh.
You know, Alex Golish went to college at Ohio State, and DJ Durkin grew up in Ohio, so they had apparently knew each other from back in their maybe while they were either attending or just out of college days, because Golish then was a student assistant at Ohio State. When I can go back and I haven't really cross-referenced their careers, but they both talked about having known each other for 20-plus years. Don, it's amazing some of the contacts that
oh,
you
yeah.
make in the coaching profession, and then how small the world is, yeah, where you'll come across those guys again.
Yeah. It seems like you either know somebody or somebody that you know knows this guy. And it's all about what we used to call networking. That's why we would always try to go to all the conventions, the coaching clinics, because you wanted to meet these guys. You know, you never knew who was going to be a head coach, who was going to be a great coordinator, and you were always looking to, you know, advance yourself. And it's a network of coaches.
And I don't think that they're that far from age either, are they?
No, I think DJ's a few years older. Golish is 41. I think DJ's 46 or 47.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good news. Their paths have crossed Ohio. I never would have tied that together, but that's great. I liked him in the press conference yesterday. We're going to run the freaking ball.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
He said that with some emphasis too.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I really do. He seems like a guy that's got his head on straight, and his best years are ahead of him, quite honestly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Take care, guys.
All right. Appreciate it. And here we go. Let's see. DJ Durkin was at Bowling Green in 2005 and 2006, while Alex Golish was at Ohio State and then Northern Illinois during that time. So, yeah, I could see them definitely –
bumping into each other. You know, Ohio is a great football state for high school. So they had tons of clinics. They always, you know, probably ran into each other at clinics. And it seems like the young guys always, they couldn't hang out with the full-time guys. So all the GAs and the student coaches usually were hanging out where the cheap food and beer were, you know, at the clinics.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Jack is up next. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Coach. Good to talk to you guys again.
Thank you.
You think with this news about Durkin being retained, you think expectations might have gone up a little bit for next year?
I would think so. Now, boy, the schedule is a bear. I mean, it is a tough, tough schedule next year. But I think there's a much better chance that you're going to have a very competitive roster to go out there and try to, you know, fight that schedule.
Absolutely. You know, I'm rebuilding may, you know, there may be somewhat of a theme with that, but I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of, hey, we can win right now. But, you know, with Durkin back, you know, if you look at the rest, the potential with the rest of the staff, it seems logical, at least to me, that Vontrell King-Willis and T.J. Rushing may be coming back as well. Do you agree with that?
I'd seen something about T.J. might be headed somewhere else, but I haven't gotten any confirmation on that. But yeah, Auburn definitely needs a couple of more spots, and you would think, sure, that you know, somebody who's got some experience with D.J. Durkin would make sense.
Absolutely. You know, it's signing day tomorrow, and, you know, when you look at Durkin's body of work, I think one of the, at least on the recruiting front, I think the most impressive thing he's done during his time at Auburn, I think, is the recruitment of Shedarius Tootle, who's going to hopefully sign with Auburn tomorrow. I mean, how did you ever seen that before? A kid flip from Auburn to Georgia and then flip back to Auburn in the middle of a tough season.
Yeah, you're right.
That's unheard of.
DJ has, I mean, folks that follow it, you know, I mean, talking to the recruits, like you know, Jason Caldwell, folks that follow it like that, say it's been very impressive how hard DJ has been working, continuing, not knowing whether he was going to be back at Auburn or not. But I mean, what a huge asset he has been in Auburn's recruiting. And I look for Auburn to flip a couple of guys tomorrow.
Yeah,
I mean, some you know, there could be some guys that Alex Golish and his staff were recruiting to South Florida who might have committed to other schools wanting to, you know, play maybe closer to the SEC at that level. I think there are a couple of guys that like that could flip, but I do think there are a couple of others that Auburn had been in on, and, you know, they weren't really sure what the future of Auburn was with Coach Freeze, that have a chance to either come back or flip to Auburn tomorrow as well.
Right. Just one more question, and then I'll hang up and listen. I'd love to hear your thoughts or what you've heard as far as Alex Golish's reputation as a recruiter. I know he was, I believe he was the recruiting coordinator at Iowa State.
Yep.
and, you know, has had that similar role elsewhere. So I'd just love to hear your thoughts on that, and always good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, he was the recruiting coordinator, as a matter of fact, at Iowa State, at Illinois, and Toledo. So he's been a recruiting coordinator at three different schools. And Tennessee folks, the folks that I've talked to say, you know, the Tennessee people really, really were impressed with Alex Golish as a recruiter and as a coach. Said, I mean, he is a driven, very motivated young coach who players really, really seem to be attracted to. So I, you know, from everything I've heard, he's gonna be a really good closer, I would expect. South Florida had picked up commitments from a couple of players that, you know, SEC schools really, really wanted as well. So I love this combination now. I really do. I mean, I was expecting, you know, I was thinking it was going to be John Sumrall, and I wondered then who's the offensive coordinator going to be, because you really want somebody that's going to be able to bring in a big-time offense. Well, Alex Golish is bringing his offensive coordinator from South Florida, and they have put up fabulous numbers over the last couple of years, and then we know what DJ can do defensively. So got to be excited about this combination. I tell you what, Alan, hang on. We're going to get to our first break so we can stay on schedule, because we've got Jake Crane at the bottom of the hour. Alan, you'll be up first. You can get in line behind him at 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And let's head back to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. And Alan is up next. Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. I hope this isn't a repeat question. I can't remember. But it's pretty well known. It's a fact that if you're competing for championships, playing for championships, you got a high-level roster. I mean, they're sending guys to the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no doubt. There's no question about that. Now, does he run an offense that's going to bring guys like that in that are playing on Sunday like players?
Well, does Tennessee? I think so. I mean, yeah, I don't think there's anything about the offense that he runs that would that NFL people would look at and go, we don't know if we're interested in a player that plays in that system. No, I don't think that's a concern at all.
Okay. Because I know, I mean, in the past we've had, you know, problems with that, you know, not recruiting guys that are NFL.
Well, I mean, one of the things that he talked about yesterday, this is not a system. It's not an offensive type system that you try to find players that fit the system. I mean, what he has been able to do, he did it at Tennessee with you know, remember Hendon Hooker, I don't think a lot of people thought he was going to be the guy. And then he stepped in and was a record-breaking quarterback there. And their offenses, I mean, they've run the ball, they've thrown it, they've had, you know, outstanding receivers. And he's got a really good had a really good quarterback and a couple of receivers that there's been a lot of talk about. Hey, they may be going into the portal, and they're definitely the NFL is keeping a very close eye on those guys. But he talked about yesterday what he does is, you know, when they determine who their quarterback is, they're going to build the offense to suit what he does best, not necessarily trying to get the quarterback to fit into what they like to do best. And I think that's something that is definitely different than we've seen with, you know, with a couple of former coaches.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good to hear. All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Alan. 334-321-1390. That's something I think is critical, Don.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you have a system, then you've got to find guys plug in, and at times, yes, it may not be a guy who is really high on the NFL radar, but if he can do, you know, what you like
want to do, yeah.
But I think it's better, and you're more likely to be able to attract top talent, mm-hmm. if you can adapt your system to what your players do best.
Right, no doubt, for sure. Yeah, I look at Tennessee's offense a couple of years ago.
Another note on the staff, and a caller a couple of calls ago said, well, this means a couple of guys stay with DJ Durkin. Vontrell King-Williams, Auburn's defensive line coach, is staying and good. Will be the defensive line coach
good.
For DJ and Auburn this coming year now.
That's big.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'd figure that. I mean, DJ's the defensive coordinator. He wants some guys that understand his terminology and how he runs his defense.
Right, for sure.
And I have no problem with the defensive line and their play this past year. I think there are a lot of young guys on this defensive line that have a chance to get a whole lot better.
Yeah, no doubt. That's another positive.
334-321-1390. I did see I went to check my email here during the break, see what I'd missed. I guess it shouldn't be a huge surprise. Auburn has a new head coach. DJ Durkin's back. We're talking about the excitement. I get a renew your season tickets today.
Can't wait.
There it is.
It doesn't take them long.
Strike while the iron's
That's
hot.
Right.
You know,
That's
if you're
right.
excited about it, yep, go ahead and re-up those season tickets.
Today.
Yeah, well, I'll be stretching that out over a little while. So
I bet.
All right, 334-321-1390. Back to the hotline. Was it Pat? That's up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. When I first heard the news, I wasn't really excited. I was happy that it wasn't Summerall, because the reason I did not want John Summerall was because I did not want a guy who was a defensive coach who didn't call the plays, who was basically his defense at Tulane wasn't that great. And so then you have to hire a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator.
Right.
So you're basically just paying a guy to do both. And I love the fact that Golish is an offensive guy. So you basically get Lane Kiffin without all the drama, but then you can go out and keep Durkin, and now you're not blowing all your money. I really feel great now that Durkin's staying, because I feel like he could have done good, but I was afraid without Durkin he would lose the players and then he'd have to start fresh. And that was my fear. But by doing what it took to keep DJ, I feel like it's like the dream team coming true, because you got Cody coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks like he's been doing great. I mean, he looked really good. I mean, just he physically looked like when he was here, he looked kind of like a kid to me.
Yeah.
But now he looks like a grown man.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
Yeah, I talked to him for a couple minutes yesterday.
Yeah. So and I think the fact that if we keep, you know, Montrez and some of Durkin's guys to make it where I feel like that's going to solidify the class and the people staying and the class that maybe was coming in. Maybe Braylon Womack might circle back around. So I feel 100%. I feel like we probably have the best staff right now. I didn't feel that way at first, because I feel like it needed to be DJ combo. But I think Golish could have probably got there at some point, but it would have been a lot harder, especially with the way the schedule is, you know. So I feel way better. I think if Lane would have came here, I feel like it would have been we'd have been blowing a lot of money, and then we still would have to get a defense. We still would have to pay, you know, DJ. So I feel a lot better the way it is now. It kind of took some rigmarole to get.
Oh,
to
yeah. Well,
we
you
are,
got. I mean, you got one of the things you wanted, and that is a guy that has explosive offense. I mean, there's no question
exactly.
about that. And he's a younger version of that. I mean, he's 41, and has put up great numbers, you know, everywhere he's been. And some people thought, well, is it just Josh Heupel? And look, Josh has done fine. Their offenses have been good. Maybe not quite as explosive, though. I know a lot of Tennessee folks feel like they really lost something there when Golish left. But, man, the situation he went into at South Florida, they were terrible. Jeff Scott was a, you know, highly thought of offensive coach who had just, struggle is putting it mildly. They won four games in his last 3 years there, and Alex goes in and wins seven games his first year. He's in a bowl his first year, and people go, well, 23-15 is not impressive. Coming off 4-29, it sure is. I can tell you.
Yeah, well, exactly, and there's no question that he turned that was a major just impressive, and even when he went to Tennessee and took them from 108 to 9 or
right.
or 8 and then the number 1, that's just crazy. But I think where I just had the problem with Summerall was he just sounded like he was a lot of talk, and I feel like I had enough of that with Freeze. It was a lot of talk. And I just felt like, okay, well, who are you going to bring in as offensive coordinator? That was my problem, is who's a great offensive coordinator that's going to come here just to be an offensive coordinator? And I feel like you'd have to pay, tons of money to do that. So now you're paying him $8 million, and then you're paying DJ $4 million, and you're paying to pay an offensive coordinator $3 million or $4 million. It just seemed like that you're getting, you might as well just go get Lane Kiffin at that point. So that was my problem. So I love the way it turned out. I was worried when I first saw it, but I was glad it wasn't.
Oh yeah, you've got a head coach and two coordinators, and not that I'm in this to try to be as thrifty as possible or anything, but realistically, Auburn's got a head coach and both coordinators for less than what LSU is paying Lane himself.
Yeah, exactly. But you got two guys who technically are head coaches.
In my mind, right.
I think DJ easily could be a head coach. I think he got kind of thrust into it, and it kind of took away from his defense. But that's fine. I love it because I think he comes here. He stays here. We do great, and then in 3 or 4 years he'd go off and be the head coach somewhere and be big time. So I think it's a smart move for him. I think it's great for everybody involved, Auburn, and I feel like we're going to keep almost all of our players. I really do. I'd be surprised if any of them that I've met that I know about, they love Auburn already. So that's what they needed, was to have this kind of a boost. So
no, I agree. There were a lot of them that were disappointed and were, if DJ wasn't going to be back, and were shocked, when there was a change. But like Coach Golish said, they're going to find out who really wants to stay here. And if they really do, then they'll do everything that they can to keep them here.
Yeah, well, I think Dan, my brother and I, we're going to start put a little donation in. We hadn't really donated much because we were kind of – Freeze has kind of got us down. I love the recruiting, but I was just getting tired. I was getting tired of just watching us lose. It's just kind of wears you down. Anyway, thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Pat. And with that, we are at 5:30, so we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. And on the other side, our weekly visit with Jake Crane of Crane & Company. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive. On the road with the Troy women's basketball team, and he'll be back in on Thursday. No show tomorrow because we're going to be preempted by Auburn women's basketball, so we'll be back on Thursday. But we've got another half an hour to go here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive, and I believe we got him now. We're having a little trouble, but we are indeed now pleased to be joined by our good friend from Crane & Company, and that's Jake Crane. Jake, man, it has been a crazy last 48 hours.
Yeah, it has, and it just keeps getting crazier. Obviously, Durkin just announced he's being retained and keeping Von Trell. He's obviously the defensive
I
line
love
coach.
It.
So, it just shows Golish has feel, man. Like, it's the same reason that Lane is trying to keep Blake Baker. He may get the Tulane job, but Lane wants to keep him. You try and keep the best parts to keep some continuity and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, it just shows good instinct, and I think it was the right move.
Yeah, let's go back. When the dust settles, we're talking how many group of five coaches, probably a half dozen now, have gotten the opportunity to make that move to the Power Four. Your reaction now, 36 hours later on the Alex Golish hire by Auburn.
Well, to be honest with you, Bill, it's one of the craziest situations I've seen because, and you can hear him tell the players in the team meeting, John Coem called in at 1 a.m. Sunday morning to offer him the job. That if this was something that was in the works, it wouldn't have happened like that. And I just wonder if Cohen, who I think they were about to make Durkin the head coach after, you know, what went down with Summerall, which I think would have been a mistake. I think keeping him at DC is obviously a big keep. But man, when you look at this decision, I think from a mindset standpoint, it's the type of personality Auburn needs. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole, you know, being close is okay. And as long as, you know, you walk old ladies across the street, that's good enough. And it's not. You can be a great person and a great football player and win football games, and you need to when you're at a place like Auburn. So he's not going to put up with any of the stuff that's been allowed to happen. He's going to reset the culture, and I think he's making a lot of the right moves along the way.
You know, I know you have contacts, you know, all across the country, but especially here in the Southeast. But, man, folks I know from Tennessee absolutely love the guy.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was coaching at Iowa Western, when I just started out in JUCO, when he was at Iowa State, we went up there, and, you know, Matt Campbell was still the head coach there, and
sure,
Joe Houston was the special teams guy, and he was the guy I met with. But, you know, Golish was in there, and shoot, man, I didn't mean nothing to him, and he sat down and talked with me, and we went back and forth, and, you know, just a cool guy. But, you know, he's driven. Like, he's the type of person, he's everything that Brian Harsin said that Brian Harsin was. Turned out he wasn't, but he's right. Actually like that in real life. So I think in order for Auburn to compete at the highest level possible, they needed somebody that's a killer. And at the end of the day, Golish is not going to back down from anybody, and he's going to keep it real with the players. He's not going to tell them what they want to hear, or that losing's okay, or that, you know, as long as you're doing this, it doesn't matter what the scoreboard doesn't matter. Look, in life, you can say what you want. The scoreboard matters when you're trying to put food on the table and you're trying to get things done. And that's what Auburn needs. That's what Georgia has. That's what Alabama has had. That's what, you know, these teams that have success have. This is a cutthroat, dirty business, and you need somebody that's not afraid and understands that results matter, and that's who Alex is.
Yeah, and we had a caller a while ago wondering about, you know, was he going to be able to recruit? And I said, you know, you look at his track record. He's been a recruiting coordinator under Tim Beckman at Toledo in Illinois, under Matt Campbell at Iowa State, and then had a really good rep at Tennessee and has pulled some guys at South Florida that SEC schools were trying to get. So, yeah, I don't think that's a big concern.
Well, Bill, just think about all the places you just named. Is there hotter recruiting beds than the ones you just named? So you just talked about the Midwest. You just talked about the Mid-South, as I call it, in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You talked about the Deep South in Florida. And when he comes out and says there's a 250-mile radius around us that we're going to attack, and you know, he recruits the way he coaches, and he's a head coach that's heavily involved in recruiting. That's why hiring a guy that was a recruiting coordinator at one point is really beneficial, and you have a hands-on recruiting head coach, which, again, Georgia has that, right? Oregon has
absolutely
that. Like, look at the teams that are having success. That's what they have. So I think when you look at Golish, somebody that has recruited multiple areas, that had to, earlier in his career, rely on evaluation, because you're not going to get the guys at Toledo that you're going to get at other places, and then you give him all these resources, he's going to hunt like he's poor and eat like a king, and that's what you want.
The combination, since it was announced right as we're coming on the air that DJ is staying on as defensive coordinator, it's been a combination of relief and really excitement for this this pairing of an offensive guy that has put up, I mean, just fabulous numbers over the over his career, and DJ Durkin, whose defense, I mean, you know what you have. You have a proven, you know, not just quality. I mean, he's better than that defensive coordinator. I think it's a great matchup. And when the dust settles, I think a lot of folks that were criticizing John Cohen are going, man, this looks like it's working out pretty well.
Yeah, and again, you got to see the results on the field.
Sure.
But I think he ended up, like I've told a couple people, you know, it's the first Hail Mary that Auburn's actually caught since 2013 against Georgia. So, you know, it's it's got to feel good. I do think it's going to work out. But I'll say this, too. You know, when I came out and said, you know, after the Vanderbilt game, look, everybody's got to go. That was under the assumption that, and at that point in time, it was looking like John Sumrall was going to be the next head coach at Auburn. He was not keeping DJ Durkin. I think either way, he was going to go get Brad White from Kentucky because they're boys. And that was a big, obviously, you know, caveat in getting John Sumrall to Auburn. So that was under the assumption that either DJ Durkin was going to be the head coach or he wasn't going to be here. I'm actually really surprised that Golish ended up deciding to keep DJ Durkin and not bring Todd Orlando, like his guy. I don't think people realize, like, think about it. Imagine you're at a place with a guy who's coming up. You've had success with him everywhere you've gone, and then you finally get the chance to jump to the bigger job, and he doesn't take you as the defensive coordinator. So to me, I think it's Golish having feel. I think it's him understanding the importance of continuity. And look, DJ's a hell of a defensive coordinator. I mean, look, he's Will Muschamp without the punching, you know, chalkboards. Like that's what he is. And some guy, and look, he's going to get a head coaching opportunity at some point. He already had one at Maryland and it didn't work. But I think it just shows that Golish is willing to have feel and nuance to get this thing done.
Well, I'd love to get your thoughts. I mean, there's been so much unbelievable how many coaching announcements we've had here since Saturday night. Obviously, Lane to LSU is the biggest headline, and they get the biggest name prize. There's no question about it. But how do you grade where the you know, Sumrall to Florida, Silverfield to Arkansas? I mean, Penn State's still looking, apparently. It's like, my goodness, man, what is going on there?
Yeah, I mean, and y'all got out of the boat first.
Yes.
Like, that's the craziest part. Like, you look at Penn State.
I don't see any way they get somebody better than James Franklin.
I don't think they're getting DeBoer, if that's what they're hoping. I don't think that's going to happen, especially now that he beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl and they're going to make the playoff. But, you know, I would say, obviously, LSU with Lane Kiffin, you got to feel good about it with what he's become and that talent pool and resources that he'll have. Sumrall, to me, was the number one guy on the board, so I'm obviously going to think it's a good hire by Florida. Arkansas, we'll see. Silverfield was a backup plan because they thought they were getting Golish till about 1 in the morning on Sunday. And I'd be willing to bet that the next call that Alex Golish made after getting off the phone with John Cohen was to Hunter Yurecek to tell him, hey, I'm not coming. You need to move on. And not coincidentally, the Ryan Silverfield hire is announced a little bit later. But I will say this, Ryan Silverfield did beat Arkansas this year at Memphis, so you really never know.
Mm-hmm. And then Pete Golding, not just interim, a little surprising that he is just promoted to permanent head coach?
Well, permanent, yes, but I understand it. I mean, Ole Miss is in a very different circumstance than Auburn and Arkansas and Penn State. I mean, they still got the playoff to go. And, you know, keeping that continuity and keeping a guy that's there will help structurally and with the players. I think this is going to be basically kind of like, you remember Zach Arnett at Mississippi State when he took over? You know, it kind of feels a little bit like that. You're going to get 1 year to kind of show if you can do it, and if not, because you don't have to pay him, you know, a ton to be the head coach there, so you can put some gold back in the vault and then really go all in after the next year, and if it works out, then you bred him thoroughly. But I feel like it was a smart move by Ole Miss, and they really had to do it. Again, there's some coaches that I'm sure would love to sign up to coach in the playoff, but you'd have a brand-new team, and, you know, Charlie Weiss Jr. coming back is a little weird after getting on the plane with Lane Kiffin. But, you know, I think Ole Miss did what they had to do.
Yeah, and then, as a result, I mentioned a little while ago, I mean, it's been a half dozen prominent group of five schools have their coaches leave. I didn't even mention UCLA hiring James Madison's coach. I mean, so there's some really good group of five openings there. I know Tulane.
Well, and Eric Morris to Oklahoma State.
That's exactly right. Yeah, from North Texas. I mean, so some of the better group of five jobs, it appears, have openings. And I think those would be really attractive to some guys. I'd heard DJ's name mentioned with a couple of those jobs. So I think credit to Auburn and the fact that DJ and his family are really happy at Auburn that he decided to stay. But, I mean, Tulane's trying to get Blake Baker, right?
Yeah, they are. Here's what I'll say. I mean, look, this means James Madison is open now.
Right.
This means North Texas is open now. So while DJ Durkin is at Auburn right now, and I hope he stays at Auburn, he's going to be a name for some group of five jobs coming up. I mean, look, USF is open right now. So you know, before you pop the champagne, let's see how the dominoes fall. But, you know, at this point, I think DJ would have known he was taking those jobs and probably would have taken one by now.
Yeah, so I mean, it has just been crazy. I've never seen anything like this, but then we've never been in a situation like this where you have the transfer portal, and there was some confusion about the players being able to enter the transfer portal. But as I understand it, the NCAA sent out a memo saying, "Look, the 5-day window, or that period of 5 days after a head coach's name, players can go into the portal, doesn't apply now. Apparently now, any school that names a head coach, they still have until January 2nd before the players can go in the portal. So they've got a month to try to do their best to retain the players that they really want."
Yes, and then keeping Durkin and a decent amount of his staff is going to help with that as well. I don't think you're going to see a max exodus, but I do know today there were some commitments that were told, hey, look, you probably need to go somewhere else after the tape was evaluated, which I like. It's part of it.
Oh, I agree. I mean, this is Alex Golish's team that he is looking to, you know, retain as much and replenish. When I asked him yesterday, I mean, I expected that answer, but you know, he said retaining the players, finding the players that want to stay, want to be at Auburn is the key thing. And then obviously filling out the staff and recruiting. They know that tomorrow's a signing day. They're going to still be tomorrow. There'll probably be more flips tomorrow than we've seen over the last few years because of all the changes that we've had going on around the country, especially here in the Southeast.
No, without a doubt. I mean, a new precedent's kind of getting set with this new calendar, and you're going to see it in real time. And you'll have some flips both ways. But, you know, at the end of the day, evaluating players on your roster is just like evaluating, you know, high school players or other guys in the transfer portal. That there's a certain type of personality that you want your team to have. And in order for them to have that, you know, your most important guys need to have that. And then everybody else falls in line. So they're evaluating that right now. And I'm sure there's some guys that they want out of high school that they think are underrated. I mean, you look at the tight end from Mary G. Montgomery that just flipped. Go watch his tape. I'm telling you, this dude can evaluate, man. So you're going to see a lot of movement, but that's just, you know, comes with the nature of the beast.
And then I guess one of the biggest stories was Jared Curtis today. It sounded like that may have been a little bit of a sort of a petty move by Georgia to sort of release it. I think Jared Curtis wanted to wait till tomorrow to announce that he was flipping from Georgia to Vandy. But I mean, that just tells you how different a world we're in right now in college football than we were just a few years ago. No, that was unheard of, the thought of somebody flipping from Georgia to Vandy.
Yeah, we're in an M. Night Shyamalan movie, I swear. We just don't know it yet. It does show the times, but credit to Vanderbilt. And to be honest with you, if I'm going to make sure and let Jared Curtis know that Georgia leaked it. Now he's definitely not going there.
Oh, absolutely not. It's great to be able to talk to you here during these wild times and get your thoughts. I'm sure you guys are having a blast. Got a ton of info. What's coming up on Crane & Company?
Oh, man, well, we have a full show about Auburn hiring Golish and what that means. You can find that on our YouTube channel. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N & Company. We have a full breakdown of the bubble teams right now and who's going to get in the college football playoff and who's not. Look, if you love college football in general, just head over there. I think you like what you're going to hear, and if you don't, we appreciate you watching anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Jake, man, appreciate it as always. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
You guys too. See ya.
Jake Crane joining us as he does Tuesdays here on The Drive. Great getting his thoughts.
Yeah, he does a good job, and he's an emotional guy.
He tells you what he thinks.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it.
All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us. As a matter of fact, still got time for a call or two as we wind things down here on the Tuesday Drive.
Auburn football is back, and there's nothing more refreshing than
106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment on this Tuesday, and let's get right back to The Drive hotline. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Just a quick story about that 89 Iron Bowl and how I got in. I was actually a student at Southern Union, just graduated high school the year before.
Mm-hmm.
But played football with Bud Casey's youngest son, Bart, and he was up at Jacksonville State playing football. And he came down to hang out with us, or just to, I guess, to relax. He didn't want to go to the game, but his dad got him a ticket just to get in. That's all it did. It had no seat, no nothing.
Right.
It was green, from what I remember, and it had the same picture as that special ticket that they made. You remember that, Bill? That big, huge.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. When as a matter of fact, I was in the ticket office, and we went up and talked with Phil Neal about getting that ticket done, and Mr. Beckwith made sure that even though Aubie was rolling out the red carpet, it wasn't crimson.
Right. So, and I've actually got one of those original tickets. I don't remember where I got it from or who I got it from. Anyway, I don't know if I've got the green ticket. They may have taken that from me, but Bart didn't want to go to the game. He wanted to lay on our couch and watch it on television. So so I definitely wanted to go to the game. So I got in, and friends of mine from high school that were at Auburn at the time got me into the student section, and I mean, it was the most incredible game. I mean, the shakers back then, you know, the old paper shakers.
Man, it was a sea of orange. I mean, it was like the sky. I mean, the air was just full of pieces of shaker. It felt like all day.
Yeah, I mean, and I think they. Do you remember how many shakers they handed out that day, Bill? Was it 30,000, 40,000?
Yeah, somewhere in that range. I don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. I was so nervous that day because I was having to try to handle players' families. Getting into the game and trying to get everything done so I could get in and watch, because I had to get all that stuff taken care of and go over to the Coliseum and make sure everything was locked up before I could get in. So that was wild.
Right. Well, I remember that.
You know how much the ticket was? The face value. Get this. Face value of the 1989 Auburn-Alabama game, first time ever.
$18. Yeah. Well, the first one that my wife and I went to in 2005 was $50. But I do remember that I didn't go out that night, being, you know, 19 in Auburn, college town. I didn't go out Friday night. And I got up, and I think I went down to start tailgating with some buddies from high school at 6 a.m. And there was, like, no traffic. I just drove straight up to our tailgate place.
Wow.
And, I mean, it was just incredible. I don't remember what happened after the game. I'm sure we celebrated somehow, somewhere.
But but yes, there was celebration. Hey, Mitch, we're out of time, man.
War Eagle.
Yep. That was, yes, indeed, December 2nd, 89. As I mentioned earlier,
wow.
December 2nd was also the date of the 17-16 punt Bama punt game.
Wow.
So, yeah, pretty big day in Auburn history. Fun day. Thanks,
yes,
Don.
Sir. Thank you.
We'll see you Friday.
Yes, sir.
That's going to do it for today. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.
1907. Auburn had no paved roads, no local newspaper.